right to us. Here we go, everybody. The Tom and Curly Show. We certainly do welcome your input. Tom and I try to read as many letters as we possibly can. First, let's dive in. Letters. By the way, for the listeners and viewers, something for the Facebook monster. I'm going to present a problem to you. I'll send it, put it on video. Doug and I want your input because we're going to try to pick up a shed and move it 50 yards. And we both looked at it, and Doug in his sort of hazy marijuana view of the world said, man, we could really that thing up. And I said, I know, I don't want to any more than you. But, you know, Doug, I'm going to ask the viewers and the listeners of the Tom and Curly Show to help us with this. Because we're going to try to pick up an entire shed, 16 by 10, lift it up and move it, Tom. So,
sounds like a job for Lady Treasure.
Or David Blaine. Just call that guy.
Either way, it's magical.
David Blaine would have to... Blaine would have to get in it and then himself lift up and then lift the whole thing up. But he had to have that weird sort of no expression on his face while doing it. Okay, here we go. Erin was just mentioning this. It's a woman in Pierce County. She's in love. I think her husband's in the military. She might be in the military as well. And 80%, by the way, Tom, of the people that would be attending said wedding, the nuptials, are vaccinated. So there you go. That's pretty good. But when she's talking to Dory about the problems after contacting Super J's office and finding out, you know, what the science is about a wedding, you get a chance to experience what's it like to have a wedding in Pierce County with the science of Governor Jay Inslee.
You want to hear some?
Yes, this story, I'm coming into cold. All I have in front of me is a list of weddings, funerals, and events, COVID-19 requirements, phase one, phase two, phase three. I don't know what the story is.
Here is a woman. This is firsthand. Yeah. She's trying to have a wedding.
It's been a roller coaster of all of these back and forth with the phases, and we're just trying to do our best just to have as close to a normal wedding as possible, and that's just become so impossible. These unpredictable changes, and we don't know, we can't make, you know, heads or tails of any of these restrictions, and it's just exhausting to keep up with, so we're just tired.
Sounds like either she's crying or got a bit of a cold. How about guests, Tom? Does she have to disinvite?
Well, in phase two, we can have only 103, but we were excited, at least under phase three, we wouldn't have to cut our guest list again, and so we were excited to invite anybody that had to be uninvited from the last phase two. So we were just heartbroken to hear that we were now moving back to phase two and had to tell our guests, you know, 30 something of our guests that sorry, you can't come the week of.
Oh, the disinvite. I mean, it is bad enough at a wedding when you can't invite certain people, but they don't know they haven't been invited, right? They don't know they never got invited. You just like, hey, you guys got what? You got really to get married? Maybe you get the announcement or something. But to get invited and then have to get on and then disinvite. Difficult. Jacob actually attended one of these COVID weddings. I don't know if you had this problem, Jacob. When it comes to dancing, this is what the state of Washington science will tell you.
So this is one of the silliest ones, is that we are not allowed to dance with other tables. You are only allowed to dance with your own table. So
science!
Six people in your dance group, and we are...
That makes no sense at all.
Hey, Dory. We're in the middle of our show, okay?
We have to put a little box on the ground for people to dance in their own little square, and they can dance with another square 6 feet away from them, but they have to be separate. So it doesn't matter if they're traveling together in the same hotel room or, you know, spending holidays together as a family. If they're not at the same table, they're not allowed to dance together.
All right.
Well, if you're part of the same household, you can. But anyway, okay.
Not dance partners, Tom. Mm-hmm. Jacob says this is the best time to actually have a wedding if you don't like people.
Right.
Well, yes, do tell. What was this Monday wedding that you were at?
So part of Kayla's problem is that she is trying to deal with the fact that Inslee just changed the phases for Pierce County, which is where her wedding is. My sister got married a couple weeks ago now, and she wasn't dealing with that problem. They were at that point, I think, consistently in phase three and had been. So she wasn't dealing with this fluctuation, which is Kayla's main complaint. Mm-hmm. But for us, there was certainly still some regulations that they were trying to comply with. It just so happened that that my particular sister that did get married was not very invested or interested in having the guests dance or a lot of the more social aspects that you might expect in other weddings. And so she was perfectly happy to blame COVID for this type of wedding that she maybe would have already had otherwise. But now no one has to blame her for maybe some of her unconventional decisions.
How many people that were attending the wedding were vaccinated?
I don't have a percentage. I know. So it was the venue was a 400. I don't know if you call it seat capacity. And she still had about 100 people in attendance.
Uh-huh.
I mean, my sister was actually vaccinated. My mom was vaccinated. I would say, I still don't think it was widespread. Maybe 10% of the attendees.
Here's the bride.
Waited on hold, just sobbing, totally not even sure what to do and how to go forward, just thinking this is impossible. And I finally got in touch with a staffer, and I just told her my story and what was going on. And I was just asking, the governor, if he could please just reconsider his position and just not roll us back to phase two and just consider how devastating this is, not just to businesses, but all of our vendors and our guests and our family and the ability to be able to just celebrate our wedding day. And I just said, I just don't think that the governor has considered people like us. And, I just asked if he wouldn't be able to reconsider his position, could we at least just move forward since our wedding was planned before these rollbacks under phase three guidelines? And she says, well, we haven't had this question come up, so I don't know what to tell you.
Mm-hmm. We got to get a call from the governor's office at midnight. It would be interesting because apparently you get vaccinated, which you're supposed to get vaccinated. If they're vaccinated, then why? Mm-hmm. And she had said that 80%. Why wouldn't you be able to have that? But maybe vaccines don't work. Is that what the governor's telling us? We see him with a mask on, so I guess vaccines don't work.
Well, these requirements that I have in front of me, it doesn't say anything about vaccination. So I wonder if you can establish if they're really, 80% vaccination rates, that's a pretty high rate. If that's really true, I would think that these rules, would be modified by vaccinations. That seems awfully high. But if that's the case,
well,
then I think maybe
think about it, Tom.
You could say you can have groups of 10. You don't even have to wear a mask. Yeah. If you have a house party of all vaccinated people, that there are no restrictions. So I don't know. I wonder if that can be verified, there may be some flexibility. Listen, I am completely right. Having had a daughter relatively recently, in the last couple of years, get married. There's nothing more stressful, probably especially for the bride, but for the bride's family and the groom's family, there's nothing more stressful than a wedding. And I can imagine the anxiety, the angst that the bride and groom are going through when they're trying to plan something, and then if it only been last weekend, now the one weekend later the rug gets pulled out from under them. I'm completely sympathetic to their emotional toll. My only advice to them, first off, I doubt that it'll be heavily regulated so that they could probably get away with not following to the letter of the law.
And risk killing people.
Well, that's a risk that you would take. Listen, John, if there really was
they
a
could
risk,
kill
they
people,
would not
Tom.
Want to
they
be.
Could kill they people.
Would, yes, they would not want to be responsible for that. So I'm assuming that they would play it as safe as they see it necessary. But here's what I would do. If that really is the case, I think that you could turn it into a kind of a fun joke. That you're dancing like your table and you got to stay within your square. There could be a memorable pandemic oriented wedding that you can mock at the same time, following the rules.
It's a joke, all right. The band is allowed to play, but each musician must be 20 feet from the other musician. And when you're dancing, staying in your square is important, but you're not allowed to talk. So it is a joke. It's called science, according to Super Jay Inslee. And this is the fact that they didn't even think about this, that people might want to go on with their lives. So this woman calls up and says, we were going to get married this week. Oh, yeah, we hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
Well, How did you not think about people's lives going on?
Well,
these are the same
John,
group of people who said you can get in a boat, but you can't go fishing. Remember that rule? That's the same group. Remember that rule?
Weddings
the science
funerals,
behind that one? Same one. Same group of people that give you that science.
Have been seen as super spreading events. Now, that was early on in the process, and I think we've learned a lot more now that we can go ahead and handle these. But I'm just trying to give the bride, if the state, and it doesn't sound to me, based on what she said to Dory, and again, I only know what the clips we played, that the state has come down hard one way or the other. Just said, well, we haven't considered that problem, so they haven't closed the door on it. But I'm just saying, even if they did, and even if in some weird universe they would try to be enforced, that you can still have some fun on your wedding day, acknowledging that you're getting married during a pandemic. There's something distinctive about that, historical about that, that you can have a lot of fun. You can take pictures with masks on, with masks off. You can do dancing within particular squares. Yeah. I mean, there is a way to kind of make that special, even with the restrictions.
Okay, but so again, the people that they had invited, then they have to disinvite those people.
Well,
so
it sounds like
the people, and they don't get a chance to go to the thing. So,
if I heard correctly, it sounded like that they initially invited people when it was still phase two, and then they were thrilled to find out that it had moved to phase three. This is about a month ago, so they could invite 30 more people, and now they're going to have to disinvite them. So those people, like you were kind of suggesting that, well, those people, now they know they weren't invited. I think they already knew they weren't initially invited. But again, that can be part of,
it's fun. It's just fun. Why don't they
invite
Jay
Inslee? Best of
it's
a tough
fun.
Situation. Because
it's
emotionally nerve-wracking on so many levels that have nothing to do with the pandemic, even.
We should make a toast. The governor could get up and make a toast with his mask on. There was a giant group of people that got canceled, 1,200. The Lumenfield vaccine appointments, apparently this is from Cairo 7.
1,200 people got notices from the city of Seattle today saying their vaccine appointments at Lumenfield were canceled. Eddie Galdamez is one of several Cairo 7 employees with canceled appointments.
I was definitely excited to finally get it, and then just kind of got slapped in the face and say, hey, no. You have to wait again.
The vaccinations at Lumenfield are Pfizer, but it had people wondering if the cancellations were tied to the Johnson & Johnson halt. Alicia Collins also works at Cairo.
I just assumed they were going to, move all of our first doses to the people who were scheduled for the Johnson & Johnson vaccine.
The city says the 1,200 people with canceled appointments used links that were intended for volunteers or other specific groups of people. But the links ended up getting posted on social media, even COVIDWA.com. People now scrambling to book a new appointment say once Johnson & Johnson is back online, they would be up for taking it.
I'm willing to, go behind the science and really, get whichever one comes first.
Go behind the science.
Yeah, I can see how that happens. Nobody is the bad guy here, but links, people think they're doing a favor by posting the links that were meant for individual volunteers, for instance, and then they get posted to the general. And the general audience, I think Paige and I used that COVID WA website to help track down that place in Yakima. What they do is they just scour all of the addresses they can. And so they inadvertently included one that was designed just specifically to say for volunteers at Lumenfield or something. And that's how that mix-up happened. It's unfortunate, but nobody was out to sort of screw with anybody. It just sort of happened in an effort to try to get the word out. It got the word out too efficiently.
I canceled mine.
Oh, you did, huh?
Yeah.
Without it being canceled beforehand? So you don't know that you were scheduled for the Johnson & Johnson, but you...
They didn't tell me what I was scheduled for. I scheduled at 9:15, and I canceled last night because I was reading some
out of
research.
Spite?
From,
I mean,
no,
why
no,
did
no,
you
no.
Cancel?
I was. Okay. I saw some research from a University of Pennsylvania surgeon who was explaining, because he was trying to look at his research on why some people have an adverse reaction, and he said, "Listen, I think the vaccines are amazing." But if your body already has the antigens and you have fought SARS or COVID, you might already, think of it like the military. They're already there. They're in their battle. They're available in your bloodstream. And there's certain things that they do once they're in your bloodstream. And you might have it. You might have been exposed to COVID, say, 6 months ago. He said what this guy is suggesting is what everybody should do, according to the research that he looked at and he's been studying, is that he said, I think if you got a test first to tell if you had the antigens, if you have them present in your bloodstream, you might want to wait a little bit before going ahead and getting the vaccine, as opposed to just getting the vaccine and maybe already having those present in your body, and those antigens and the vaccine together, you might have a reaction that could be considered to be adverse. So I'm going to wait. I'm going to get another box of these tests that I have and test myself to see if I have it present in my system. And if I do, then I won't get the vaccine until later. So I'm going to Yeah, it's called science. But apparently the government just wants you just everybody get vaccinated. Go ahead. And they know that a certain percentage of people will have some sort of adverse reaction. But as long as we get the majority of people in, we can expect, you know, certain percentage of people to you know, have an adverse reaction. I just don't want to be
you were the
one
mocking the stoppage because one out of literally a million, six out of 6 million got it. But now, so in this case, it could be just as low a percentage. You're willing to wait.
No, if you go to the CDC, I can show you the link. There's a CDC every single day reports on adverse reactions to all of the vaccines. So you can see everyone, 20,000 some reactions, and they categorize what the reaction is, what's happening within the reaction for each one of the different types. So,
but it's just getting sick and
it's not easy to find.
Is it just
just a whole bunch of variety of things. Sometimes it's sick, but
a
it
lot
can be
of
even
people
more.
Get sick, yeah.
Yeah, but I think, you know what? I don't want to get sick. And if there's one other way to know what's in my bloodstream prior to, why not, right?
Sure. I have no problem with knowing more. Sure.
Right. Well, I mean, you obviously do, or you're okay with YouTube taking down information that they feel is misinformation? Yep.
I suppose it depends on the misinformation.
It depends on the guy.
Is this a Great Barrington doctor?
No, it's not. But it was also, this would probably be taken down if it was up on YouTube, but it wasn't. All right, Tracy Taylor.
Wow.
Keel Mortgage. Thank you, Keel. Laura Keel, hope you're listening. And everybody there working at Keel Mortgage, they're probably not listening right now. They've got their heads down and they are just going to town. Phone's ringing off the hook at over Keel Mortgage because mortgage rates are historically low and everybody wants to refinance. Why not save money every single month? Put it in your pocket or give it to the kids and let them blow it at the candy store. It's Keel Mortgage, 1-888-778-KIEL, Keel Mortgage, for all your mortgage needs. All right, Tom, this the story that is we often go back and forth on is the media. And are people satisfied with the way they're getting the news? And is the news biased? Or what do they want from the news? AP puts out a survey and they asked a whole bunch of people. And they wanted to know, you know, what are the things that you're looking for? They run down this whole list. I guess they went on a scale of 1 to 10. What's most important to you as a reader, a consumer of the news? And they gave them all of this and sort of see that what's the top thing that every, by the way, everybody lies on this. Here are the biggest lies in the world. One, I've read the Bible. Two, I floss every day. And three, I want more international news. I want more local news regarding like water treatment plants. People don't want any of that stuff. In fact, we stood up for the smart people today when Jacob pitched some stupid story about the guy from The Bachelor admitting that he's gay. Both Tom and I, in a deafening silence, allowed Jacob to move on to the next story. You want stories about local water treatment plants? We're doing that because that's apparently what people want, Tom.
Actually, this is more It's more philosophical than that, though. This study, it's this big kind of academic research about what journalists think their job is and how their, you know, their readers or their viewers or their listeners think. And I think this is a really interesting experiment. And what it's not easy to pick apart. Like, oh, do you want to hear about the latest Bachelor event or not? Do you want celebrity gossip? And everyone says no, but everyone reads it. I mean, we've had countless arguments about that in the newsroom and everything else, like what constitutes news. But this is based on how journalists see their job, five basic values. And I thought this would really be an interesting experiment to see how you feel about journalism versus how I feel about journalism versus our listeners. Because in most of these cases, at most, half of the consumers agree at most with any of these, and in a lot of cases, very few. So here are the five core principles that most journalists think is true to their profession. Number one, all right, keep watch on public officials and the powerful. Do you think that's essential to the job of a journalist? I don't know if you want to go through these one by one, John, if you want to comment on that, or just should I go through all five?
What's the axiom that to make the comfortable uncomfortable and comfort
the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
Right, yeah.
So anyway, so that's one. And that kind of reminds me, you know, there was a commercial that Dory was running a couple weeks ago about his show. And he says, I'm here to be the watchdog on the government because nobody else is doing it. That's sort of how that's what I think this first journalistic principle is. Keep watch on public officials and the powerful. Then secondly, amplify voices that often go unheard. This is a bit of maybe the version of comfort the afflicted. Does journalism have a job to amplify voices that often go unheard? That's the second principle. Third principle, society works better with information out in the open. So the journalistic instinct to publish stuff, get the stuff out, whether it should be secret or not, is secondary to the fact that the more information out there, society works better. The fourth is the more facts people have, the closer they will get to the truth. And then the final one is it's necessary to spotlight a community's problems to solve them. So I don't know how you feel about any of those justifications. But by the way, only 1 in 10 in this study supported all five. So and I don't even know if that's true, if all, you know, every journalist would agree to all five. But in one sense, only 1 out of 10 see the vision of what journalists do in the same way that journalists may do.
Right. I'd read in a piece why somebody would want to be a journalist. And this guy who had been as an editor for 50 years said, don't be a journalist today. There's absolutely no money in it. And two, if you are going to be a journalist, he said, I look for angry people. I'm like, oh, my God. And most of the people that were surveyed coming out of some place like Columbia or Cornell or whatever, most of these are West Coast or East Coast cities. So they tend to be very liberal and they want to change the world. It's like, really, is that what you want to do? You want to be a journalist? You want to change the world? To me, I would be highly suspect of a person that is coming in, one, angry, with axes to grind and wanting to change the world. I like the idea of just delivering the facts, but apparently you can't do that. And that suddenly, for some reason, we all of a sudden want our journalists to have superpowers of not being biased. You know, Tom, that if you look at the history of newspapers in the United States, they have always been right, left, one group supporting one thing, another group supporting another thing. We didn't try to give anybody the impression that there wasn't a bias. There were huge biases in the newspapers. Huge.
Well, yeah,
that's how
yellow
all
journalism
started, right?
Came from, you know, our own newspapers. The battle between Hearst and I forget who he was battling with, but a Pulitzer, I think it was. So there is a past. Now, I don't think that means that therefore we should abandon all hope, ye who enter here, that there can be an effort at objectivity. It may not be 100% attained, but I think that I still believe that there's a journalistic impulse that can move in that direction. So okay. My question is, are you against investigative
I don't.
Stuff?
I look at it like, okay. I look at it, I don't. And I don't even want to try to, I don't even try to make the person try to fake it. There's a quote I'd seen. This was from a historian, Chilton Williamson. He says, he writes that the presentation of facts simply as facts, editors and writers reason cannot accomplish the exalted goal of saving civilization. Facts need to be presented according to those rhetorical patterns of thoughts we call opinions and patterns pointed in particular directions and convincing and imagine the jury. So and then to you need to have all of that stuff in order to get people to get riled up or whatever in order to have the exalted goal of changing civilization. You can't just put the facts out there for the people to then put all the facts together to then be emotionally moved in some way.
We've just scratched the surface. We barely got into the discussion, but that's
topic.
What that's I know. That's why the journalistic impulse to go after the people in power, like as a watchdog, I think could serve some purpose, and it needn't be on the left or on the right to do service. By the way, the irony of that quote you just read was the only thing that most people do agree with is just give us the facts. But the guy he just read says, yeah, but facts outside of a context don't give you any, help you at all either. So,
right.
Anyway, okay.
It's
well, apparently journalism's
a lost
cause. It's
the gasoline without the match. Right. It is. The facts are just, that's the gasoline without the match. The match is the opinion you throw on there, and then boom, and then everyone's like, whoa, now you got something to talk about. All right. Here's the woman that loves us both, Tom. Equally, I might add, Tracy Taylor. Delighting some of the Jeopardy hijinks of Aaron Rodgers, Tom.
You're still rolling over in joy and laughter.
I hadn't seen any of it. Seen any of it. No, my guess, as much as it upsets Jacob, who's like still has some problem against jocks, I guess. Did jocks beat you up in high school or whatever you went to? I know you were homeschooled. So did your mom stick you in a locker or something like that?
No, I don't know if I can really explain even what my aunt. It bothers me for some reason to have Aaron Rodgers take over Jeopardy. Yeah, I'll let you. Well, yeah, keep going, John.
No, because you don't like the fact that he's a jock, and they're like everything comes to the quarterback. The quarterbacks get the girl. The quarterbacks get everything, and then the quarterbacks get a chance to host Jeopardy. Is that what it is?
Jacob's resentment.
It feels like Jeopardy's one of the last like high profile nerddom things that nerdy people can still have, like he's overstepping.
Nerd celebrity.
Oh, he doesn't belong there. Like Ken Jennings would be better in there, right? Is that what it is?
Well, no, honestly, we don't have to get into it, but I think it's a classic broadcasting job, and I want someone with like an interesting voice to read the questions. Aaron Rodgers doesn't really have it. I don't think Ken Jennings really has it either. I don't necessarily know if anyone they've really tried has impressed me in that sense, but that's all I want is just someone who reads the questions with a pleasant voice.
Here's his
title for 400. In the 1960s, these Midwesterners earned 5 NFL championship trophies. Green Bay Packers? Dennis, go
try
again,
title
I guess.
For 600.
Okay. First of all, you know that the producers want him to win the thing and have the position because that's why they wrote that joke in there for him to be able to react to it. They've asked other questions as well. So they're slanting it in his direction so that it gives him a chance to sort of shine on the thing. He actually sounds a little like Alex Trebek when he reads that question. Did you pick that up as well, Tom?
No, I didn't. In fact, I thought that was an interesting observation that Jacob made, that he doesn't have the kind of broadcaster voice that we're most accustomed to. And I guess the question is that what we want? Like you, we all think you have the perfect, game show host voice. Your delivery, I think, probably would sell even if you don't like the show as much as, say, an Aaron Rodgers. It might be like Ryan Seacrest. People seem to like Ryan Seacrest's voice. He's good on the radio. He's good on American Idol. That maybe that's what they should be after rather than somebody who actually cares about the game, like Trebek or Jennings or even Rodgers.
Here's more from Rodgers.
Another great game today, closing out the week. Final Jeopardy category is American literature and the clue. One edition of this 1930s novella shows a farm within the silhouette of a rabbit. You have 30 seconds. Good luck. Jennifer, we start with you. Tough game today, but let's see how you did.
What's the answer, Tom? Because
I don't know. I mean, Velveteen Rabbit. I mean, I can't.
You put down what is Animal Farm? No, sorry, that's incorrect. What did you wager? Nothing. You're still at 3,800. Over to our champion Pasquale. See what you wrote down. You said, "What is Of Mice and Men?" Yes, of course, John Steinbeck's novel about Lenny and George, who talk about having their own rabbit farm one day. You're going to add to your total if you wagered anything. 4,000, 16,200 for you. Over to Dennis on the end, looking stoic. You could not be caught today. Let's see what you put down. What is Animal Farm? And you erased Harvey, but either way, that's incorrect. Didn't have to wager anything. You wagered 800. So you are at 25,900. And you are the new Jeopardy champion, Dennis. Congratulations.
Wow, Of Mice and Men, you put a picture of rabbits?
You've changed your mind, John?
Yeah, because he's that at that point of the show, it's a culmination. It's all coming to, and now let's see what we have. You put down not you want to, you're building. They're going to reveal this thing. Who's going ahead? What did you wager? $800. I mean, you need that kind of like, right? To him, it's just like, but anyway, he'll get the job.
You think so, huh?
He's boring.
Because they need to get more.
Yeah,
they need
boring.
They need more nerd. They need the nerd audience. They've got the nerd audience.
Get those nerds!
Aren't going nerds aren't going anywhere. You need more. You got to get the women and the non-nerd women.